across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, listen up, Rupert Murdoch, we've got the solution to the disgrace that is the Australian economy. Mick's got the story behind OJ's last-minute cancellation. We've got Street Beat with Pete Smith, don't wait for that, and more celebrity UFO sightings. You can put yourself in the running for a brand-new Ford Festiva on Radio Gladiators. We've got another papal tour update, and joining us live, Elizabeth Berkley, the star of that steamy new bit of celluloid Showgirls. It's all coming up on the program. That's not a stripper, it's a dancer, damn it. Martin Malloy. Yes.
Welcome to Martin Malloy Australia with, well, I think you know them by now, Tony Martin, that's me, and this bloke over here, a man who earlier today called one of his many showbiz buddies in the States and said, don't spend the afternoon locked in a TV studio being interviewed by Katie Couric. Come round to my place for a barbie, you'll love it. There'll be steak, there'll be beer, there'll be knives, everything you like. It's Mick Malloy.
Sound advice to a colleague.
Now, Mick, you're a disgrace. I'm a disgrace.
Are you expecting an argument?
Listeners, we're all of us a big, fat, bloated, festering, purulent, bloody disgrace. That's according to one R. Murdoch. Because he's had a look at our economy and he's gone the bake. And we're all part of the economy, people, whether we like it or not. All of you driving home today, you on that bike, you in that car, you driving that mobile billboard with the national debt figures written on it. All of us. So when Rupert Murdoch calls our economy a disgrace, he's calling all of us a disgrace. Now, firstly, I don't know whether I like foreigners coming over here and having a go at us, but let's assume for the moment he's right. We all need to pull the finger out, hitch the pants up, get a haircut, take a long, hard look at ourselves, wipe that smile off our face, start talking sense and make ourselves useful by popping down the servo to say, Burgermeister, two large family-sized buckets of elbow grease, not the cheap stuff, and make it snappy. But where do we start? Because the economy's a big bugger. I've seen it. And once we get it up on the blocks, it's not going to be a, yeah, there's your problem, mate, piece of piss, leave it with us, call us after four, we'll send a courtesy car, would you like us to leave a complimentary mint in the glove box kind of a deal? Oh, no, we're going to have to send away for parts. And what we need is cash. Cash, plenty of it, and we need it quick. So what's the answer? Well, I've had some of the nation's finest financial minds locked in a room for the last week. Paul Clitheroe from the Money Program. Yep. Robert Gottliebson, Laurie Connell, Steve Vizard, that bloke from the bank ad with the home loan simulator, Bob and Blanche, people who know what money looks like and how to get their hands on it. And they've come up with the solution, the one simple, effective way to make a fat wad of cash in 1995, car clamping. That's the answer, people. It's the number one earner in this country. It's a license to print money, and I think it is the answer. Australia, it's time to start going the clamp. Because you don't need any kind of license. You don't need any kind of authority. Let's just set ourselves up as the world's biggest clamping firm before some other country beats us to it. And let's just start slapping clamps on everything. Any ship that parks in an Australian port, clamp it. Any plane that parks in one of our airports, clamp it. The 310ers, they're coming out here. When they arrive, clamp them. Then just sit back and wait for the money trucks to arrive. And when they do, clamp them as well. It's the way out, people. It's the light at the end of the tunnel. It's my simple vision for Australia. One nation under the clamp.
Hello, I'm Rupert Murdoch, and I think the Australian economy is an absolute disgrace. In the last year, my company, News Limited, has posted a profit of $240 million. So here's hoping for an even more disgraceful 1996.
Mick, what's the latest on OJ? He was going to do that big interview tonight. He's pulled out. What's happened?
He's pulled the plug, Tone. He's pulled the pin. Yeah. He's gone home. So OJ Simpson, he pulled out of his first televised interview since his acquittal just hours before it was due to go to air. And according to his lawyers, they didn't want him to speak. In fact, Mr. Cochran said, if I had my way, I wouldn't let him speak. And if he did, it would only be in court. I'm thinking, oh, well, we've all had a gutful of that caper, haven't we? I mean, we've just endured 9 months of non-stop yak from OJ. Oh, he just kept yabbering on, didn't he? No one else could get a word in.
He wouldn't shut up.
Oh, how many times Lance Edo just had to turn around and go, hey, pipe down, Simo! Come on! So anyway, but Cochran was also concerned about OJ doing the interview. when questions were submitted to Simpson by the network yesterday. Now, look, Tone, I've actually got a list of those questions here.
Yeah.
And we might have a look through them, because I don't see any real problem. They all seem pretty standard. Can I take you through them?
Yeah.
All right, well, here, let's just start. Where were you at the time of the murders? Pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. Do you believe the evidence was tampered with? Fair enough. Oh, here's an interesting one. How are you off for bloody gloves? Will there be a naked gun 4? Well, you can see why he's getting nervous now, can't you? Did you find it amusing when Judge Aunt Lance Ito used the phrase, the juice, the whole juice, and nothing but the juice? Shall I continue? Keep going. How about this one? Mark Furman may have planted the bloody glove, but who planted the creepy beard on Judge Lance Ito? At Thanksgiving dinner, are you expecting a few wisecracks when it's your turn to carve? I would like to have heard his response to that. Do you think it would have been more fun if instead of being juror number 1, 2, 3, etc., they'd all been given nicknames like Fats, Babs, the Duke, and Mr. T? I'd like to hear his response to that. Is it possible at the time of the murder you were just running too fast with the scissors? I'm going to tick that one. Was it just a rush of blood to your head? And if so, was that blood contaminated? Fairly self-explanatory. This is an interesting one. During closing statements, when jurors looked away in disgust, were they examining the autopsy photos of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman, or was it just a close-up of F. Lee Bailey's nose? Do you think you would have received more sympathy from the public if the terrified voice on those 911 tapes had been Cato Kalins? And finally, and I think this is the controversial one that's really tipped it over, Tone, should Silverchair have accepted their award in person at last week's ARIAs?
Thanks, guys. Pete Smith here in the Martin Molloy Brown Thunder. Out on the streets, getting in touch with the kids of today for another edition of Pete Smith's Street Beat. Okay, I'm stepping out of the van now and approaching a typical young person. Excuse me, dude, what's happening? Chilling? Hanging loose? Having a bogus time, bro? Hey, take a chill pill. I'm not with the pigs or nothing.
Hey, get away from my baby!
Ladies, settle. It's me, Pete Smith.
Someone get the police!
Whoa, heavy. I'm out of here. I guess some of the squares just don't have that rapport with today's youth the way I do.
Mate, are you on the radio?
Sure am, dude. I'm Pete Smith, and this is Street Beat.
Hey, aren't you that guy from the Copperart ads?
Yeah. Hey, you got to fight for your right to party, man.
Why are you wearing bicycle shorts and a baseball cap?
Thread's a bit radical for you. Don't push me. I'm close to the edge.
But why the bow tie?
Hey, dude, you're on the radio. Any messages for the young people? Okay. How do you spell that exactly?
That's him down there, officer.
Whoop. Time to get downwind of the bacon, if you know what I mean. Just through here. All right. I'm back at the Brown Thunder. Now, dudes, I'm going live to air with Street Beat. Enough of that bloody racket, you.
Give us some free silver chair CDs.
Look, I don't have any silver chair. What's in the glove box? Here, take this tape.
Who's Kenny G?
Let's roll the van.
No, don't do that. Whoa! This is Pete Smith speaking to you live from a repainted Sandman as it rolls sideways down a steep hill for Street Beat. Not now. Oh, we seem to have settled, and I'm afraid that's all.
Hey, mister, are you giving away Take That tickets?
No! Bloody kid.
Edwin Collins, A Girl Like You on Martin Molloy. Radio Gladiators is coming up pretty soon, and in the next hour, who's in today? Well, it's Elizabeth Berkley from this big new film, Showgirls. We're going to have to be on our best behaviour, Mick, because remember, she's not a stripper. She's a dancer.
I know that. And I'll be on my best. You just look after yourself.
Okay, we've got to be very careful with that distinction.
Absolutely.
It's crucial.
She's neither, really, because she's an actor.
An actress. She'll go, if we even say dancer, she'll go, I'm not a dancer, I'm an actor.
Yeah. So we've got to be very careful. It's a minefield. Who would have thought when we embarked on this?
Okay, we got everything set. We're all ready. And I must just quickly draw your attention to the Pope. Do you think we've done enough stuff on the Pope this week on the program?
Nah. You can never do too much on the Pope.
Well, a meeting with the Pope has left actress Liz Hurley feeling overwhelmed. Hurley met the Pope when he visited South Africa and now says she is seriously considering converting to Catholicism. Really?
Yeah, she's weighing up the offers. You know, it's either the cover of Vanity Fair, new film with Ken Russell, or Catholicism. You know, her people are checking the contracts. There's no get-out clause with Catholicism, though.
Oh, I see.
You know, it's a bit of a George Michael deal. Once they've got you, it's very hard to change labels. But the Pope, for his part, benefited from his encounter with Hurley. Did you see him in New York with the new-look papal cassock, held together by three safety pins, strategically positioned? It's a good look for him. He's the troubled face of the Catholic Church. But I think the Pope is a far better soulmate for Liz than that foppish clown she's dating at the moment. There's not much chance of the LA police discovering the Popemobile parked up a darkened side street on the Sunset Strip.
This is Martin Malloy. Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
It's one of the old radio favourites. It's probably the oldest idea in radio. We like to do it from time to time. Brush with fame. Have you met anybody famous in your sort of everyday going on, you know, just walking down the shop, say, or just taking the car in for a bit of a service? Maybe you've run into somebody there. I actually ran into recently, a few weeks back, the woman who on the ABC says, "Rage."
Did you?
Yeah.
Where did that happen?
Well, I was just down the 7-Eleven, and she was there, and she just happened, I don't know in what context in the conversation, she just happened to say, I think she was, you know, talking to the bloke and said, you know, I was trying to get some unleaded and it wasn't working, and it threw me into a rage. So she just got the word rage in there. And that was a wonderful coincidence, because, of course, I'm the bloke who goes, rage! So, you know, we're getting on like a house on fire. We're actually hoping to be engaged and expecting some very noisy children in the new year.
Well, there you go. Something to look forward to.
So there's a brush with fame.
Well, you could ring up. Yeah. Yeah, on the basis of that alone, I expect you to run out down the shops and ring in during that segment. What and about, talk to yourself.
But surely you're sitting on a bit of a brush with fame encounter?
Yeah, I've got one. Yeah. I don't know how impressive it is. You know those bow repair ads? Yeah. You know the big guy who plays bow?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty confident I had an encounter with him. Yeah. At a local bar, and let's just say he'd had a few, and he or his uncanny lookalike decided to hit my girlfriend.
Oh, you joking.
It was a very ugly scene. I'm going toe to toe with Bo.
So, how did that end up?
Oh, I ran away like a frightened little rabbit. He's a large man.
And you've never seen either of them since?
Either of them since. Who knows what they're up to? And who cares? As long as they're happy. As long as they're happy.
All right, what about the prizes? It's a Sony Ghetto Blaster. It's courtesy of 4 and 20 Pies. And just quickly, the Nobel Prizes are being dished out this week. Mm. Is there a Nobel for baking? Do you know? I know there's physics, there's literature, I think there's juggling. Oh, no, I think they've dropped juggling. It wasn't very popular. And, yeah, I think, is there baking? There should be.
There should be.
Because the boffins down at the 4 and 20 Institute, they'd have to be up for a Nobel.
It'd be a short list, wouldn't it? Yeah. The nominees are the blokes who bake 4 and 20 pies. Any other takers? Nah, settled.
That'd be it.
But the 4 and 20 could be nominated in all those categories.
For physics?
Well, I mean, such a curious balance of meat and pastry.
Chemistry?
Chemistry, well, let's get the lab coats on and test that sucker. Literature?
Have you read the packet?
Oh, it's a top read,
Tone. Just looking at the beef tells a story in itself.
Absolutely.
So, Alfred Nobel, if you're listening, get
pies
on the
all
case.
Around.
It's pies all around. And have we gone on too long, Gracie? Call now with your brushes with fame. 1-800-657-657. That's the police. And if, just in case Sting's listening, the police! He's going deaf, apparently.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, so, yeah, he's going the way of that bloke from Dr. Hook.
Oh, we'll have the eye patch on next.
Okay, we're playing Radio Gladiators. Today, it's Brush with Fame. Mick, who's got the first brush?
Lauren's stepping up to the plate. G'day, Lauren. How are you?
Hi.
Okay, now, who did you run into?
Jacko.
Oh, I thought this was Brush with Fame, Mick. Jacko, which Jacko?
Jacko on the Energizer
ad. Oh, yeah, and how was that?
Good.
Okay, well, that's about all we've got time for.
And I think next it's John. John, what was your brush with fame?
Yeah, well, I'm a courier, and I was down at Brookvale doing the delivery one day, and I was just about to pull into a driveway, and a car's cut me off, so I was, you know, quite upset by it. So I was on the horn, and I'm giving him a bit of abuse. Next thing out, you know, he's got his head and hands out the window, and he's giving me the bird, and it was Bob Fulton, the Australian Rugby League coach.
What's he? And he's giving you the bird.
give me the bird, telling me right off he was.
And he's cut you off, has he?
Oh, just pulled into a driveway in front of me, and I wasn't a happy man. I was trying to get a parking spot. And
he can be sin binned for that. He could have, couldn't he? He probably had the front row in the back seat. You should have been careful about mouthing off. So where was he off to, you reckon?
Sorry?
Where was he off to?
Oh, I wouldn't have a bloody clue.
All right, mate, well, we'll get to the bottom of that. Maybe he was driving to the airport to get over to London. I tell you, he'll be driving quicker to get back if they don't win one soon.
It'll be a wet drive.
Absolutely. Have you got both hands on the wheel there, John?
No, I've got one hand on my gears, didn't change the gears. Is that all right?
All right, then.
I think that's completely legal. I think we can go a lot more famous than that. Let's see who Philippa ran into. Philippa, who was it?
Yeah, I was in Spain a couple of years ago in Toledo, and we ran into Sean Connery.
Oh, what was he doing?
He was with a couple of women wandering around. I don't know, maybe he was a tourist, but...
He was with a couple of women wandering around.
Are you sure
they weren't filming at the time?
No, they weren't. But he's a real old man. I mean, everyone talks about him being a sex symbol, but no, he just looks like a dirty old man.
Dirty old man.
Yeah.
And did he say anything to you?
No,
was
no.
There no sort of Connery?
It wasn't until I went past and I thought, my God, and I turned around and it was him. But he's not as great as he looks on the screen, that's for sure.
Oh, okay, well, Sean Connery's been put in his place by Philippa. That's pretty famous. Can we go even famouser?
Can we? I don't know. Let's ask Justine.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
All right. Now, what have you got to offer this segment?
I saw Michael Caine, actually, in San Francisco.
Michael Caine?
Yeah.
Now we're talking Turkey. And what was he up to?
Well, he was with his wife. It was about 6 o'clock in the morning, and he was bundling all his junk into his black BMW at hotel we were staying at.
Yeah, did he look like he could lose a few pounds?
Oh, he looked like he could use a lot of pounds.
And did you strike up a conversation?
Oh, no. You know, he just wouldn't look at people like me. I'm just an Australian tourist.
I see. You got the impression that he was a bit of a snob.
Oh, just slightly.
But he's a Cockney kind of working class guy, isn't he, Tone?
Yeah,
well, that's what they say.
Did you know? And when he talks for too long, he gets very, very angry.
That's the thing about Michael Caine. He goes off about 3 seconds into any conversation.
Justin, you didn't realise he was in the studio with us, did you?
Yes. Oh, I hope the next person met John Michael Housen.
Unsolicited. No, next up we've got Rhonda. Rhonda, who did you meet?
I met Kerry Packer.
Yeah.
At Carralbon Valley Resort.
Right.
It was the middle of winter and he was sitting in front of the fireplace and he wouldn't move. So I asked him ever so politely to move his fat ass.
Were those the exact words, Rhonda?
More or less.
Jeez.
Because I didn't know who he was.
So, was it his... Did he own the fireplace? Was it his fireplace?
Well, it was all his polo horses and everything running around outside.
Okay, well, I think
they're the ones who'd probably have more of a claim to ask him to move his fat ass.
I think that could be our winner today.
Anyone who's told the richest man in the country to move his fat ass deserves a Sonny Ghetto Blaster worth quite a fair bit, I think.
And you've gone into the draw for the Ford Festiva.
Oh, great.
And that'll move any fat ass at a rate of knots, that car.
So thanks for playing Radio Gladiators, Rhonda.
And you've got, did she also get the barge ass tape?
Yeah, no, it's...
Oh, good.
I'm sure we could find
a joke.
I think she gets the barge.
Oh, good. No, I've lost it now anyway. Yes, I've got quite a few of those in the boot, so we'll see if we can give you one of those as well, Rhonda. Thanks for playing.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
And in the next hour, we'll be talking to, the star of Showgirls, Elizabeth Berkeley. The Commitments here on Martin Molloy with Mustang Sally. It's the second hour, Mick, and time to move up on the couch. Welcome our guest. She's the star of Showgirls, the controversial new flick from the team behind Basic Instinct, which opens right round the big brown land today. She's thrown some clothes on and dropped by for a chat. It's Elizabeth Berkeley. Elizabeth, thanks for your time today.
Oh, well, sure.
You're speechless?
I'm speechless because I'm so excited to be here. Yeah. I've heard so many great things about you guys, and I'm like, you're making me nervous.
Yeah, who have you been speaking to?
Oh, you know, the driver on the way over here was telling me some... Yeah.
We're making you nervous.
Yes. I can take my sweater off. I'm all hot in here.
Now, here's what we want to do. You probably get asked a lot of dumb questions about this film, am I right?
They're pretty much like the same. You know, people want to know about the nudity issue, and, but I understand. It's definitely...
Are you crossing that out, Nick?
No, go ahead. You guys can go for it. No, I don't think it's dumb, though, because, I mean, I'm so used to it, you know, because during filming and it didn't seem like a big deal, but I understand definitely that this kind of a film is a bit shocking and explores a world that a lot of people don't know about in Las Vegas.
And how long was the shoot?
4.5 months actual shooting time and then 2.5 months rehearsal where I had to learn all the choreography and dancing and I had to research in the clubs in Las Vegas and backstage with the showgirls as well.
So when you say research, that means you sneak along, bit of a hat on, some sunnies.
Sneak along. You know, I don't actually go as far as putting that G-string on and getting out there until I actually, like, did it in the studio.
Mick, you've been doing a fair bit of research for showgirls, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I never anticipated getting a role, but on the off chance,
I just thought
I'd hang out in a few of those clubs for a couple of years.
Exactly. You'd know exactly what to do if they gave you a pull, right?
I'm ready. All Elizabeth, right. If there's a sequel...
Uh-huh.
Give me a call.
You might just push me down the stairs for the role, right?
Let's see what happens.
Now, you brought up the subject of nudity, Elizabeth, so I want to ask you, we read a lot about films where the actress or the actor says, right, if I'm going to be taking my clothes off, all the crew have to do the same. Is that something you demanded?
Well, here's the thing. There's safety in numbers, because when we had a lot of the nudity, I was joined by 21 other, let's say, chorus dancers. But then when I was by myself, though, well, either the love scene in the swimming pool with Kyle MacLachlan, we were both in it together, but... like there's this lap dance sequence. Did you see it?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember that one?
I do remember the lap dancing sequence.
Let me think.
Yes, a little scene. Sort of tucked away in the
very
early
sweet
part
little
of it.
Scene. You know that most people won't catch. But anyway, no, it's Kyle MacLachlan and Gina Gershon. I'm doing a lap dance for the two of them. And so in that particular scene, I was alone there, basically wearing 5-inch heels and an anklet, and that's about it. So I figured, you know, I'm going to ask some of the crew members to support me here. So a few of them disrobed, just their shirts, though.
Good. Now, well, why were you wearing an anklet? Are you a bit shy, a bit sort of
retiring? I thought, keep a little modesty here, a little mystery, you know,
Elizabeth,
for God's
always,
sake.
Always leave something to the imagination.
Exactly, you know?
That anklet was pulling its weight.
Now, I don't like to see film crew members without clothes on, because most of the film crews I've seen look a bit like Barney Gumble from The Simpsons.
You'd rather not go there, right? Keep it on, thanks.
The crews here haven't worked out total nudity, but if you ever film an Australian film, I can assure you there's a fair chance you'll get a couple of inches of bum crack from any camera operator.
I had a little bit of that. That was very sweet.
Okay.
Now, you mentioned the pool scene. what do they say to you prior to that? How do they sell that to you? Because to me, it looked like Paul Verhoeven has just said something like, okay, now, in this scene, pretend you're being attacked by a shark. That was the impression I was getting. I'm going, it's not safe in there.
Oh, yes. It was a bit playful. Everything was really, just like every other scene Paul does, it's very much laid out, you know, in storyboard form. So it's not like he just lets you go to it, you know. It's basically choreographed, like a dance would
be. And did I read somewhere that you had assistance from, like, an Olympic diving coach or something to how to enter the pool?
Well, the thing of it is, okay, I mean, everyone keeps saying, weren't you nervous about the love scene? I mean, frankly, the dive was the thing I was most nervous about, because I usually just jump in a pool, you know, I plug my nose and I jump, very feminine, right? Well, this had to be kind of seductive, you know, so this Olympic, they hired this coach just because I had to get it in one take.
If that's the case, I'm really looking forward to the next Olympics, because there's going to be a few perfect scores, I reckon.
Well, the crew, they were very cute. They held up, like, tens, you know, to another stunt, because they knew I was so nervous, of all the things I had to do.
But. I saw the early take where you did a horsey, and I just thought...
It didn't work.
It's good.
The belly flop wasn't so good either.
Okay, now we want to talk to you a bit more about Mr. Verhoeven. Can you stick around for a while?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be back in a moment on Martin Molloy. World Where You Live, that's Crowded House on...
Martin Molloy.
And Elizabeth Berkley, the star of Showgirls, is still with us on the panel. Elizabeth, we brought up the name Paul Verhoeven, and I've got to ask you, it's a bit of a sensitive question, is he artist or dirty old man? I suspect a bit of both.
He's a definite artist.
Yeah.
He likes to provoke, definitely.
Sure.
Whether it be, you know, in Total Recall with the violence or, you know... sexuality, like in Basic Instinct, and again,
most of his films have caused a bit of a furor in the press, haven't they?
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, since he came to America from Holland, all of his movies have been delivered to the Motion Picture Association with an NC-17 rating, and he's been forced to cut them down. But he likes to go to that edge, you know.
Yeah, I hear he's doing Free Willy 3, and
yes, that's his next one.
Willy's doing a lot of pole work, apparently. Yeah.
And the lap dance scene, well, please,
exactly. Now, is there anything that was rejected that was just too Verhoeven for everybody?
Too Verhoeven, it's a new adjective. No, you know what? Basically, from the beginning, Joe, when they went to go do research in Vegas, when Joe Esterhaz was writing the script, they just really explored and talked to different women, and then he wrote the script, and then that was it.
You know? Okay, and then you were roped in.
I somehow got wrangled into this, yeah.
Elizabeth, have your parents seen this film yet?
Yes, they have, and they were sitting next to me at the premiere with my brother, which is very thrilling, let me tell you. There's some things, you know, a brother just doesn't need to see, you know? But he was really supportive. He just said, yeah, the pool scene and the lap dance are things like he could have done without going through life.
And at the premiere, you had your own seat, didn't you? You weren't on top of anyone else at the premiere.
No, you know, I mean, I was thinking about it, but no, I decided to have my own seat. You know?
Nice touch.
And what did your mum say? Did she say, you know, put some clothes on? Did she say anything like that?
You know, they weren't with me when I do my work. I do my own thing. Mm. And, no, it was actually, it spared me a lot of pressure in the morning. I didn't have to decide what to wear to the set. You know, it's like, throw the robe on and get to it. And
you're
decide.
Going into wardrobe and there's just this empty rack. And you're going,
wait, something's missing. Yeah.
We've also heard about Demi Moore. She's having a crack at one of these.
Yeah, I'd like a little bit of her $12.5 million.
Are you sure?
You know?
What advice have you got for her?
Well, I actually met her in a strip club in New York when we were both doing research.
Of course.
And research, you know. And I just said to her, you know, she said, well, how was it? And I said, you know what, just have a great time. And she was very sweet. Mm. You know, I just had fun with it. So I just said to her, you know.
I can't see her jumping into it with the gusto that you demonstrate in this way.
Well, we'll see. You know, it's her movie, it's very different because she plays a single mother who's dancing in a Florida club. So it's really different than
And I hear she's not the only one who's going topless. Burt Reynolds has apparently taken the rug off for the role.
He?
Yeah.
Really?
I read that in the National Enquirer.
Well, you should believe everything in there, right?
Absolutely. Now, here's just an idea to take away with you. I've got an idea for the characters from Showgirls.
Okay.
In about 50 years' time, you and Gina Gershon get back together.
Oh, my God.
And do a remake of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Oh, my God.
She's in the wheelchair. You're doing a bit of dancing. I think it could work.
Wait, so I feed her the rats?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
What do you reckon?
That sounds great. Let's do it.
Now, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
And Mick.
I want to do more. Okay, what?
Have you got something to, have you got an idea?
Well, it's a request, Elizabeth, and you can please, if this offends, say so. But I thought, just to get us into the spirit of things, and you were so wonderful in the film, I was wondering if you could honour us with with a bit of sexy dancing here in the studio today.
Oh, didn't you get enough when you paid your $750?
No. I've got a tenner in the pocket right now, and I'm slipping it your way.
So you're just going to surprise me with some erotic music?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, take it away,
all right,
Gracie.
All right.
Oh, nice. That's very impressive. Oh, look, Eddie, I'm wearing the trekkie pants too, Tone.
This is going to be too
raunchy for us.
You like?
Oh, we've been talking to Elizabeth Berkley on Martin Malloy. But, well, we must sign off. Happy birthday, Luciano. But special thanks to our guest, Elizabeth Berkley, and all our starstruck radio gladiators. Tomorrow we'll be joined by Steve Bedwell, and I'm hoping, like Elizabeth, he'll favour us with a lap dance.
Oh,
you reckon he's hoping? I'm sure he's got experience.
He'll be up to it.
We'll put it on him.
We'll put a pole in the studio, grease it up and see what he can do.
Go to work.
And until then, folks, we'll leave you with this message.
Hello, I'm Rupert Murdoch, and I think the Australian economy is an absolute disgrace. In the last year, my company, News Limited, has posted a profit of $240 million. So here's hoping for an even more disgraceful 1996.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.